This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey all, Corey here. Got another reboot episode for ya. We're very busy writing a book at the moment, so you're getting a few more reboots than usual on the feed, but we should have some fresh content for you next week. Until then, please enjoy one of our first and favorite episodes, Weird Pootie, originally released June 13th, 2016. Also, if you're really jonesing for some New Art History Babes content, hit our Patreon. We have an archive of over 15 bonus episodes available to you when you help out the Art History Babes and become a patron. Thanks so much for listening. Art History Babes. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Corey.
And I'm Ginny.
I'm Natalie.
And we are the Art History Babes.
Today, Jen will not be joining us because she is on a well-deserved trip to NYC.
Because it's the summertime.
It is. Before we get started, I'd like to cheers to you all as we just finished our first year of grad school. Whee! Congratulations, ladies.
Sweet relief.
So, today, Weird Pootie is the topic at hand. And if you don't know what that means, well, you're in for a treat. So simply put, like a pootie are just those little chubby baby angels that you see in paintings all the time for reasons we don't really even quite understand.
We still don't know. Just for people's joy.
Yeah.
They bring joy.
They really do.
They're incredibly nebulous. So the word pootie itself is Italian, and pootie is plural for puto. Yes, that sounds very similar to a swear word in Spanish, but it's not.
Son of a bitch.
Pootie. Pootie is plural. Puto is singular. So puto in Italian is a word for a little angel. And generally, so puto is masculine. And this is because pootie are always boys. You never see little chubby angel girls. They're always little boys. They really carry with them a lot of different connotations, but most primarily they're symbols relating to romance and kind of later get translated into sort of the spiritual connotation. But they
I read too that pootie comes from the Latin root pudus, which means small boy or child. And then at one point...
That makes sense.
At one point, it was like an interchangeable term with like child. Like at one point in Italy, children were referred to as pootie. They're not anymore.
Right. They're just little bambini now.
But that's... Yeah. I don't know any more than that.
Yeah. So, I mean, they come originally from Greco-Roman classical mythology, and they're associated with Eros or Cupid. So they're like little love helpers of Cupid. and that's really how they first emerged. And they were depicted on sarcophagi, you know, dancing around these chubby little baby boys. And they were really kind of brought back into a revival during the Renaissance, when they started being depicted in a lot of Renaissance art. And then, as was pretty common during the Renaissance, these kind of ancient Greek, ancient Roman mythological figures are also imbued with new Christian religious symbolic meaning. So they're still representative of an ancient mythological pagan past, but they're okay because they also serve, like, oh, you know, there's these little Pootie and they're around the Virgin Mary and they're looking at her and they love her. And it's Christian and also these kind of old symbols. So that's how they really start kicking off in the art world, and they really stay dominant for a long time, and we can even still see some Pootie today in art, which is cool.
So they, like, originally had this kind of this pagan origin, but yet they were adopted by, like, the Christian tradition because they're angels. The term Pootie in relation to art and art history was first used by Giorgio Vasari in Lives of the Artists, which was published in 1500. And if you don't know, he's kind of considered, like, the godfather of art history.
Like the OG art historian.
For real. Like, he started it all. Lives of the Artist is kind of the first art historical text ever written. So Pootie, in terms of art, kind of started with him. It referred to these images more in the Renaissance tradition, as that was the time period he was working in. The Pootie also, it represents a whole slew of things in terms of iconography. It, as Ginny already mentioned, is related to Cupid and love and all of these kind of attachments. But if you go back to, like, the ancient Greek and Roman origins, it can represent fertility. It can also be representative of kind of, like, abundance, as, like, you'd see them in these Bacchic sarcophagi.
Yeah.
Of, like, all these little Pootie just partying it up. Yeah. Like, having a really good time.
It's great.
Party Pootie.
There's a lot of really great images of Party Pootie. And we're going to post some of them. But I found this one that is a true delight by a follower of Raphael. And it was painted during, like, circa 1500. And it depicts, let's see, how many are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 Pootie. And they're all in and around this wine press. And they're all in kind of varying states of, like, drunken stupor. And there's one that in the foreground is just passed out with his little jug of wine. And there's some little Pootie stomping on grapes. And it's just all, like, very gluttonous. And
cute little drunk babies.
Yeah. But, you know, this was, like, really common at the time. And Pootie were often kind of these little chubby dudes accompanying wine and celebration brought together, like, in these paintings.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
So yeah, so the iconography is kind of, like, it's kind of all over the place. It's unfixed, and it can mean, like, so many things, because in the Renaissance, it became very attached to devotional paintings and, like, Christianity. So you also have them representative of, like, God and, like, all of these religious connotations.
Right.
But I think the most important thing to recognize in regards to the Pootie is that they are often mistakenly referred to as cherubs or cherubim. Also, in relation to the love element, they're oftentimes thought of as cupids as well. So it's very important to recognize that Pootie, cherub, and cupid are all different things. They're separate. So I'm going to kind of give you a quick rundown of how they're separate. Okay, so, like, Pootie are the chubby winged babies. Iconography is totally unfixed. They can represent love, heaven, God, leisure, wine. Like, they can represent all these different things based on context. But cherubim, which is the term most often given to images of Pudi, are actually, they're entirely Abrahamic in origin. So they come from the Abrahamic religions like Christianity, Judaism, and Islamic faith. They are specifically first referred to in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel 10:14 to be exact, if you really want to look it up. But they are actually not really cute, chubby babies at all. A cherub is actually an eight-winged creature. Their wings are covered in eyes, which is terrifying. They also have four faces, yeah. One of a man, one of a lion, one of an ox, and one of an eagle, and are also said to have the feet of an ox as well. So they're kind of this weird conglomeration that is like griffin-like type thing.
Sure. Are those the symbols of the four evangelists?
They are. Ah. So there's an even deeper, like, kind of Christian connotation there. But it's also, the cherub is described as the protector of the Garden of Eden, as well as the throne of God. So this crazy figure with eight sets of wings and four faces and many, many eyes is protecting the Garden of Eden and the throne of God. So in the Christian tradition, it has a very specific meaning. So to throw it on Pudi, like, it just doesn't really work because right. It doesn't fall into that right. same specific, that specific definition. Additionally, cherub are super high on like the angelic hierarchy. Like
Pudi are probably like,
they're like
the
A team and yeah. Pudi are like the D team.
Yeah, exactly. I believe the cherub are like second rung on like the angel, like, wow. They're right up there, super important. And yeah, Pudi are just,
they're just little naked babies.
Hey, yeah. And honestly, I referred to Pudi as cherubs until like, I'm gonna say, a couple months ago.
It's really, I did the same thing where I was like, oh, cherubs and Pudis, they're all the same. And I'm wondering too, because looking at some of our images that were posting for this episode, a lot of the Pudi do have little wings, so I just wonder if over time people were seeing, you know, chubby little babies with wings and they're like, oh, cherubs, wings. There aren't eight of them, they don't have eyeballs on them, but yeah, wings.
Yeah,
okay.
Why not?
Face, but you know.
It's all the same. So yeah, so that's the difference between a Pudi and a chair, or Pudi and cherubim.
Yes.
To reiterate, Puto is singular, Pudi is plural. Cherub is singular, cherubim is plural. The other figure that Pudi are often thrown together with and confused with is that of Cupid. Cupid is the Roman god of desire, erotic love, attraction, and affection. His Greek counterpart is Eros. In classical Greek art, he was represented as more of like a slender winged youth, but he's evolved into this bow and arrow wielding chubby baby boy that we all know of him today. That happened kind of around the 15th century. The reason Cupid ends up interchangeable with Puto is Puto can embody those same ideas. Like, it can represent love, and there are images of Pudi with bow and arrow.
Yeah.
And they have wings, and they're yes. chubby little boys.
Yeah.
So there is kind of interchangeability there.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe I would say that, like, Cupid are Pudi, but not all Pudi are Cupid. Do
yeah.
you think that's fair?
No, I think that is fair. I think that yeah. is fair, for sure. And, I mean, so many of the scenes, and the thing that's interesting with Pudi especially is that they can be in either secular or religious paintings. So a lot of times you'll see them in paintings that are purely like mythological. There's this one fantastic painting from the Rococo period, which is mostly 18th century. And we'll post this because you've got to see it. Like, it's incredible. I was laughing so hard when I saw it because the name of the painting itself is Jupiter in the guise of Diana and Callisto. So it's, you know, it's a mythological content of the scene, but there's like these rolling clouds on which three incredibly chubby Pudi are like rolling out of, and one of them Its face is partially obscured, and it honestly looks like their little fat arms and legs look like rising bread dough, like loaves of bread, and you can't even tell like where one little Puto ends and the other begins. But, you know, this is a painting that isn't overtly religious, but they're still in there, and it's obviously kind of like, it's a fairly seductive scene. It's like Jupiter seducing Callisto. So it's really interesting how these tiny little chubby naked angels can insert themselves into so many different kinds of scenes in painting, in art, throughout like a myriad of periods. So they're pretty noteworthy.
Definitely. They're all over the place. They just show up in just about everything. This kind of leads to a wide, wide variety of Puto, many of which are very interesting. Some are very goofy. Some are really weird. Some are kind of dark and disturbing. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. All these different just weird Puti that we've found. Let's see. In his book, Inventing the Renaissance Puto, Charles Dempsey. So if you're interested in Puto, I would check out this book because it's just got like all kinds of historical information on Puti. But Charles Dempsey credits Donatello with being kind of at the forefront of the development of the Renaissance Puto, which is where, like we said, they existed in ancient Rome and Greece, but they really, really got going in the Renaissance. And this was largely due to the work of Donatello and the different ways he would depict in sculpture these little guys. But the image of the Puto that you're probably most familiar with is actually Raphael. There are two little Puti at the bottom of his Sistine Madonna, which was commissioned in 1512. It's a very famous painting, but you have likely seen these little...
Maybe hung up in your grandma's bathroom or
something. Yeah, exactly. on a Hallmark card, like, they are all over the place. It's kind of, this image of these two little Puti, and they're at the very bottom, and they're kind of gazing up at the Virgin Mary holding the baby Jesus, like so many Renaissance images. What's interesting about them is, like, they're pretty adorable. But they also look just like unimpressed.
Yeah. Like very apathetic.
They're just like hanging out, like being baby angels. Yeah. Like
just a day in the life.
One like leaning on his hand.
Yeah. Like,
looking really drowsy.
Here we are again, looking up at the Virgin Mary and the baby Jesus. Like
eternally bored.
Yeah. Just like we're kind of over this stuff, but and we'll post that image on the website. Chances are you've seen it before. And the thing is, it's most commonly, in fact, I was like researching it and even just on like the Wikipedia page, they're referred to as cherubim and they're not cherubim.
Not true.
They're Puti.
Yeah, a lot of them are still like misattributed as cherub. And now that we know that that's not correct, it seems to be even that much more obvious.
But. Yeah, pretty common. I think I even... When I was doing my research, I Googled like Puti gift cards or like contemporary Puti, and I got very little results. But when I Googled cherub gift cards or cherub like those kind of things, I got like a ton of stuff, and I was like, those aren't even cherubs. But yeah, so that is one of the most popular Puti images, I think. Diving into some of the less typical angel babies, we're gonna kind of pull up some images of some really weird Puti doing some really weird things. They can just take on some really unusual roles and characteristics in art because I think they just like they lend themselves to that. They're they're just this like extra thing that people are just like, we'll just throw some Puti in there.
There's some space. Stick a couple Puti in there.
We need a figure to do this one thing. I bet you a Puti can handle it. Yeah. Like, so they take on some weird characteristics. The one that I was pretty compelled by, there's an image of a little Puto that is on the ceiling of the Stirling Castle in Scotland. And I really don't know the story behind it. Like, there isn't...
It's a mystery.
We don't know. But it's this image of this just weird... It doesn't even really look like a baby. Like, he's kind of got, like, a...
Looks like he's pregnant on this.
Yeah. His proportions are entirely off. Just weird little rolls in weird places.
Yep.
He's got this very rotund belly.
His face kind of looks like a Pixar character.
Yeah.
Like it just looks so not real.
Yeah, he's got these very rosy cheeks and these red curls. And he looks terrified. He looks absolutely terrified. And he's kind of like wrapped up in like rope. Which I have no idea what that means.
Sorry, guys, we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know anything about this, but like I said, we'll put it up on the website and you can take a gander at it because it's really entertaining. Yeah, and I feel like he's kind of also a good example of how little understanding a lot of artists had of like baby proportions. Mm-hmm. Like,
yes.
Such a problem for so long. They look like little old men and they'd be long and lanky and just...
And just weird, like, weird roles and just, like, unnecessary places.
Yeah, like the wrong places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just kind of silly. Let's see, another very notable Puto exists in a lot of the images of the Virgin of Guadalupe, which is a very interesting image in and of itself. I'm going to pass it over to Natalie and let her talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, so the Virgin of Guadalupe is the patron saint of Mexico, and she's kind of a hybrid between the Catholic religion that came with the Spanish imperialists and then also the natives. So she carries a lot of symbolism just within modern day Mexico, but she really came to be the patron saint in 1531 when she appeared to Juan Diego at Tepeyac Hill, which is modern-day Mexico City, and there's a whole story of him seeing her and going to the bishop and the bishop not believing him, and then so he comes back a few days later, and he needs evidence, so there's roses and a cape and her face, and it's a story. It's a great story, but we're talking about Pootie.
It's a whole story.
But this podcast is not about that. It's about Pootie. So... the final iconography that comes out of this story involves her in a halo of light and being held by a very strong Puto. A Puto, and he's got his wings, and he is holding her on a little crescent moon, and he's included in pretty much any image of the Virgin of Guadalupe. And we don't know much else about him. There is one source that I found that talks about how it would have been recognizable to the natives of Mexico that she was royalty because they believed that only royalty or dignitaries would be held up on the shoulders of someone else. So that could have some connection, but that's all I really found. Otherwise, he's just a little strong Puto.
Yeah.
Helping out any way he can. Yeah.
The strongest of the Puto.
Yeah.
There. Just, yeah. Unlike Raphael's Puti that are just like ambivalent to the whole situation.
Yes.
This Puto's doing his duty.
Oh, arms
upstretched.
Or
the ones stomping grapes and getting fucking drunk.
This one is doing his duty as a little Puto. Let's see, what else? Oh, maybe I'll talk about this guy. So in our research about Pootie, we found a particularly disturbing little Puto. This is Pierino da Vinci. You're the Italian person.
That sounded great.
Thanks.
Yeah, you said it great. Pierino da Vinci.
What's his name?
Quermingens Arezzo Museo Civico. Quermingens that's Latin. I don't speak Latin. I can recognize it, but I don't speak it. I can say the name's real nice, but that's about it. I can look it up.
It's fine. Okay, you look it up. I'll just talk about what's going on in this image. Okay, so this is a little statue that, once again, we found in Dempsey's Inventing the Renaissance Puto. And he's kind of a frightening little Puto. He's standing, his legs are spread apart, and he's got this kind of like menacing but very pleased with himself sort of face. And he's holding this really weird mask right in front of his little Puto genitals. And it's a creepy mask. Like, it's got like its nose has these big nostrils and it's got this huge mouth. I think it definitely depicts something in the way of a demon. So it's holding this kind of like demon-like mask in front of its genitals, and it was part of like a fountain, so water would be coming out of this mask.
Speaking of that, the translation is the boy urinates.
So perfect. There we go. So yes, this weird demonic little Puto is urinating through this little demon mask. And once again, we'll put this on the website so you can see it for yourself. But it just kind of shows the variety of Puto. And
this one could haunt your dreams.
It really could, though. This one is not the sweet little angelic baby that you are so used to. It's pretty terrifying. It definitely can come to mean a whole lot of things. What year was this? I don't know. I don't know. I can't find it. But,
he labeled his images correctly.
We'd be able to know right now. Yeah. But anyways, it's terrifying. So that's another very weird pootie that we found.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
I'm your inner dream monologue, and you're fast asleep, so I'll be quick. Great job using the Colgate Optic White Overnight Teeth Whitening Pen before bed. When used as directed, it gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 7 days. So while I fly and talk to animals, you're removing teeth stains with ease. Sweet dreams. And when you wake up, keep on living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Let's see, Hobgoblin Mask Pootie is what I have in my notes. That's what we refer to him as.
We have to look up Hobgoblin because it was like, what on earth does that mean in this context? But it basically means mischievous. What was the other word that I, like, bogey?
Oh, yeah.
Mischievous. Basically just like a little trickster.
A little trickster guy.
Can't trust him. Can't trust him at all.
And that's also a pretty common word used in reference to Pootie. Like, it shows up a lot in this book. It shows up kind of all over the place as this, like, hobgoblin. And it's like they're supposed to be these little baby angels, but they
have an edge.
They
sometimes
do. They have a dark side. Yeah. So that's a great example of that. Kind of moving forward a little bit to the 19th century, we have a great example of a appropriation of the pootie for like actual propaganda purposes, and it's fantastic. So once again, Natalie, go ahead and take
might
that.
Might be the weirdest of the pootie. I'm going to go out on a limb.
I think so.
This research came out of an article by Anne McClintock, and it's called Soft Soaping Empire, Commodity Racism and Imperial Advertising. And it deals with Victorian era and the emergence of soap, because soap wasn't always a thing. With the rise in soap, we get things like advertising and consumerism and a fetishism around soap, and not in like the kinky terms, but in terms of just like a worship of soap.
Commodity fetishism.
Yes.
Think Karl Marx.
Yes, exactly. Soap starts to become this Victorian item that represents purity, and all the way into like racial purity. And there's a whole slew of connotations with that. You start getting all these really weird iconography, like motifs. And the three big ones are the actual soap, the product. And then you get the monkey, stay with me, and the mirror. So these are pretty common motifs within soap advertisements of the Victorian era. Monkey Brand is one of these soaps, and the specific advertisement that we're going to be looking at is essentially a classical woman to the right, and to her left, she holds a cornucopia out of which flow little monkey putti with frying pans acting as mirrors. So they are looking at their little monkey putti faces in the sparkling pans. And it's really weird. It's very disturbing.
They don't have bodies either. They're little monkey heads with wings.
Monkey heads, wings, looking into frying pans. They're making all different expressions. Some look happy. Some look kind of pissed. It just depends. They all are very interested in their reflection. And this particular soap is boasting to be able to clean all sorts of different household items. But especially interesting is that they talk about artist brushes and palettes. So that could be the reason for using this more classical goddess iconography and the putti. Because usually this imperial soap monkey doesn't come with wings. This is a very unique advertisement.
And we could definitely do a whole episode on the imperial soap monkey. That is a fascinating image in and of itself.
I've never even known about that until you guys told me about that and how soap in its origin was so heavily related to like class.
Yes, to class and to racial purification. And it's really, really strange. Yeah, the cult of soap. But just to leave you guys not too confused, the idea of the monkey kind of acts as like this hybrid between like human, like ape and human. It always kind of has like human-like features. It's not full monkey. And it really stood in the place of showing women doing domestic housework. So there was some taboo at the time about showing women in advertising cleaning. So the monkey was supposed to stand in as like, the soap just magically makes everything clean and you don't have to do anything. So it's all very layered and strange, but you really have to get over to the website to look at these little monkey putti. You will not be disappointed.
That's putti in the 19th century. Maybe unsurprisingly to some of you, taking on a very propagandistic purpose, as a lot of things did in the 19th century. But the whole thing's very fascinating. You should actually read that article that Natalie mentioned. It's super interesting. Mm-hmm. But did you have any other example of putti you wanted to talk about, Jenny? Before we get into contemporary putti?
No, you guys can forge on ahead. mentally, I'm not at my full capacity right now. So, yeah, we've talked about a little bit of Renaissance, a little bit of, not even Baroque. I kind of skipped right forward to Rococo with that one image. But, yeah, so contemporary. Because putti are still here, y'all. They're still here.
They are, and in very exciting ways. Okay, so contemporary putti that I found, this has actually been really fun to research. First off, apparently, I'm not a video gamer, so I wouldn't know this. But
none of us are, really.
Except for Jen, but Jen's not here.
God damn it, Jen.
Maybe she could vouch for this. But apparently, according to my research, putti tend to show up in video games a lot. Like, there was, like, a reference to at least 4 or 5 different video games. There's, like, putti in them, one of which, like, the main character is a puto.
Wow.
And it's a third-person shooter. In
what?
Which the
video games can
when did
so
putti
strange.
Pick up guns?
I don't know.
Because we have more putties with
weapons.
Yes.
Putti with weapons is very big in the contemporary putti scene. So putti in video games is a thing, apparently. One of my favorite things I found was a webcomic written and created by James Stafford. The art is by AJ Bernardo. And there is already a link on our Facebook page to this, but there will also be one on our website. And it's called The Sorrowful Puto of Prague. And it's very short, easy read about a sad little putti, or sad little puto, sorry. A sad little puto, and he's this heroic cigarette-smoking, pistol-wielding Puto. He kind of just looks over the city of Prague, and he's
so cute.
It's pretty cute. And he at one point fights a zombie Alexander the Great, which.
Because that guy sucks.
But see, the problem, the reason our little Puto protagonist is so sad is because he gets no cred. No one really knows about him, so he's just saving the city and nobody knows about him. And he's just like living his day to day and no one realizes the hero that he is. And at one point he gets caught in a like a drain, like a
street drain.
Yeah, like a drain in the street.
Like you do.
And he's
when
like
you got tiny little Puto feet.
And so he gets caught in this grate, and there are tourists that are stumbling by, and he's afraid that he's going to be seen in his Puto form, like as a little baby angel. So he pretends to be a little Puto statue. And he tricks them. He tricks the tourists. Oh, they're like, God. Oh, look at this great statue. It wasn't even in the guidebook. So kind of playing off of that Renaissance tradition of Puto in paintings and sculpture. But yeah, it's a cute little comic. Really easy read. Check it out. It was pretty entertaining. My final example of contemporary Puti, which is by far my favorite, as I am a avid fan of the show Parks and Recreation, the season 3, episode 11, Jerry's Painting. We have this painting created by the lovable doof, Jerry.
Jerry, Larry. What have you,
yes,
depending on the season.
Exactly. And if you are a fan, you realize that what's so great about Jerry is he's actually really talented in like all these avenues, including like painting. He's like, and he paints this really beautiful painting of the Greek goddess Diaphina, in which Leslie is actually the face of Diaphina, which is this like centaur woman.
And shooting an arrow topless.
Yes. And it's just totally badass. Jerry did this unintentionally. He was thinking about powerful women and he painted Leslie, topless Leslie glued to a horse. But where the Puti come in, the entertaining detail that he also paints a little Puto up in the corner that happens to be Tom Haverford. And what's particularly entertaining about this image is that, like, it's Tom Haverford as he is, like, with a beard, like, with stubble, like, on a little fat baby.
And for those of you who have not yet started watching Parks and Recreation, which we highly recommend you do, Tom Haverford is played by Aziz Ansari. So, just to give you the full mental image.
Fat baby Aziz Ansari.
All we could ever hope for.
It really is. And what does he say in the episode where he's like talking about the Jay-Z vibe he's trying to cultivate and how the painting gives him this fat brown baby vibe, which is not as cool of a vibe. So that is by far my favorite contemporary Puto that exists in the world. If you're not a Parks and Rec fan, you should be. You should probably get into that immediately. So those are kind of some ways that Puti make their way into the contemporary world, in addition to on all of your Hallmark cards and your grandmother's mantle and all of those things. Yeah. We'd definitely be interested in hearing about more if you guys have any examples of contemporary Puti. You should send them our way at our email address, arthistorybabes@gmail.com. We would be very interested in seeing them. Or if any of you play these video games that Puti are part of.
I would actually be really interested to hear more about that. How do Puti look in like the video game?
And, like, what do they do? Like, what are their moves?
And how did that start? Like, why were Puti deemed like, oh, I want this in my video game? It seems I'm gonna fight so... as a
Puto.
Yeah, but no, so we would love to hear more examples about that. And as always, our email is open for any questions or suggestions for future episodes. I know that I've at least gotten some recommendations, requests for future episodes. And that's mostly just from, like, text messages from people. But you guys could also throw an email us, too. And we would love to hear about what you would want to hear. On that note.
Hopefully you understand now what Pooty are. Yes. You kind of understand the difference between Pooty
and Cherubim.
They're different. And it's important. But
at the very least, now you can start using the word Pooty or Puto.
Which is a new daily.
If you like come across a guy that, you know, has like just lovely round cheeks and an angelic disposition, you should call him a Puto.
And watch as he gets offended at first and then explain yourself immediately.
Also, aren't you, if you ever get a pup, aren't you going to name him Pooty?
I probably will. I mean, there's so many options, especially with the Italian language, there's so many good choices for names, but Puto is definitely one. I would almost be inclined to have like two dogs
Puto
and then
the
just
first
call them
and Puto the yeah. second.
Just call them Pooty.
And then I'll be like,
just
Pooty,
to be grammatically correct.
I won't even have to say Puto one and Puto two. I'll just be like, Pooty, come here.
Come here.
Andiamo, let's go.
That's perfect. Yeah, so hopefully this was interesting for you. I hope you look up the images because they're
fantastic. In we promise you.
Yeah, in tandem with our commentary, I think they'll be very entertaining for you. There's so many more than what we even talked about. We just picked out some notable ones.
Some of the weirdest of the movie.
I mean, our title was Weird Pooty, so we had a... We had a, what's the word I'm looking for? Because I told you my brain doesn't
deliver.
Work. Yes.
Yeah, we're all rocking that grad school brain right now.
It's really rough.
But yeah, so thanks for listening to our episode about Weird Pooty. Our next episode, which will hopefully be in a week or two-ish. Yeah. Gonna try and knock these out more often now that it's summer and we have time. But our next episode, we're planning on getting into the Gorilla Girls, which are some of the most badass women in the modern contemporary art scene.
Yes.
So that should be really interesting and kind of push us forward a little bit in time.
Yes.
Like I said, like we all said, you can email us at arthistorybabes@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook. We keep you updated with everything there. Also, our website, arthistorybabes.com. will be live by the time this goes live. So all of our information should be on there.
Right.
You can also follow us on arthistorybabes.tumblr.com, which has a lot of the same information.
Yeah.
And we're on Twitter. So we're on all that stuff.
We're on all the platforms.
All the things, all of them. So whichever is your preferred social media platform, find us on it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, thanks for listening and
happy summer, everyone.
Yeah, summer. Whee!
Time to party Pooty.
Yeah.
We're going to party
Pooty style.
We're going to go have ourselves a bacchanalian time.
Yeah, we're going to a party right now, so.
So.
We'll talk to you guys later.
Peace out, y'all.
We are history babes.
Puto is singular. Pooty is plural. Cherub is singular. Cherubim is plural.
The Art History Babes podcast is made possible by support from our lovely listeners via Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/arthistorybabes to help keep the Art History Babes going and for access to bonus content.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.